Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at just one verse. We'll look at several verses, but one we're focusing on, verse number 8. Daniel chapter 1. You know, we know practically nothing about Daniel's childhood. But from implication, we can see several things about his childhood. Sometime when Daniel was young, his godly parents must have taught him to fear God and to honor the Bible. Because Daniel was taken slave when he was a teenager. Estimates probably around 16 years of age. And so Daniel's taken away captive. Now, stop and think about this. The Babylonians, they were harsh in a lot of ways. Some people say, you know, some of the excavations they've dug up, not even very far in back history, indicate that the Babylonians weren't always really hard on people, but they could be harsh on them, no question about it. You read some of the stuff they did there, and they took a lot of them and just executed them. And the kings, you know, he'd execute all his children in front of him and then poke his eyes out. I mean, that's kind of barbaric, you know, that's not exactly nice. So the Babylonians were not real kind to their slaves, but Daniel and some of the other young men were chosen in a special choice to be those that would be reared up to work in the king's palace, in the court. And we see this in verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels of the treasure of the house of God into the house of the treasure of his house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs. All right, now right there is an important statement. He's the master of the eunuchs. The eunuchs. All right. That he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the king's princes. Now, so the master of the eunuchs was to bring certain of the royal family and the princes of Judah to Babylon to train them to be workers in the king's court. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skilled in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding of science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language, or the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. All right, so here's the situation. We know a little bit about Daniel. He evidently was either of royal descent or he was one of the princes. He was not just one of the average young men. He also was very highly favored. He had high qualities in his character, in his being, and so that even the enemies, when they came in, they could see by just looking at him, there's a sharp young man. We need him. He's going to be one of the ones we're going to take back with us. And it was the prince of the eunuchs. That's an important key too. Because if he's a prince of the eunuchs and he's getting all these young men, he's going to make them into eunuchs. All right? Important thing. Daniel lost a lot of his freedoms when he went into slavery. No question about it. And it was not going to be an easy time for him. It was a difficult time. And he was then because he was one without physical blemish, he was well-favored, he was skilled, he was a smart young man, he was cunning, and he understood science. Maybe they questioned these young fellas when they captured him and gave him a little test or quiz, who knows. But they somehow knew what kind of character these young men had. And our text tells us there in verse number 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, we're going to focus on this verse, and I want us to think about particularly that word purposed. He purposed in his heart. The word purposed literally means to set something in its place. To set something in its place. And sometime in Daniel's youth, Daniel made a firm decision to set loyalty and honor to God in first place in his life. Sometime in his youth, he said, I am going to put God first in my life. He's going to be number one in my life. I'm going to follow the Bible with my life, no matter what happens to me. Now, you can be sure he did not make that decision on his way to Babylon. He did not make that decision when he found himself in the courts of the king in Babylon, and the king brings out this, they bring out the food, and Daniel says, boy, I've got to make a decision quick. What am I going to do? Let me see. I've got a coin, I'll flip it. Now, it wasn't, he had made that firm decision long before. And that's why I believe that his parents must have instilled the Word of God in him. He knew the Scriptures. It was settled before in his heart. And so years before, this was taken care of in his heart. It was a premeditated decision. And so as we look at this here, the first fact I want us to hear is that Daniel's decision was just that. It was a premeditated decision. It was one that he had determined long before in his heart. He said it purposed it in his heart. It was not a feeling. It was not an emotion. It was not just a quick response, but it was a deep, heart-seated conviction in his heart. And folks, we need more of that. You know, I need more of that. Firm conviction where you say, this is what I believe, this is what I stand for, and this is why I stand for it, and no matter what anybody says, I'm not going to budge. And we need to do that. Now, there are times when, you know, depending on how the significance of that thing, you know, there are some things that we may modify or change or go a different route on over time as we learn and grow in the Lord. But there's some things we just say, this is what it's going to be. I'm not going to budge. And you know, if we did that, it would keep us out of a lot of trouble. If we really did that. And it takes courage to do that. And we're going to see as we dig our way through here. Now, the time to settle these convictions is before you face the temptation. No question about that. The time to do it is not when you're right there facing that temptation and I got to make a decision right now. What am I going to do? No, it needs to be settled long before. And Daniel had that purposed in his heart long before. You can be sure that as a young man, he had already said in his heart, God, I give my life to you. I'm going to do what you want. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to budge. I'm going to walk with you no matter what. I'm going to follow Scripture. And he had it settled in his heart. And if you wait until you face the challenge to make that decision, often we'll make the wrong choice. Because the pressure's on. And we'll often make the wrong choice. And that's something we need to be very careful about. Now, Daniel thought this decision through well before, and he knew what was going to be. And his decision was not a popular one. You know, in fact, even among his own people. The other young men, there were a lot of young men that was went. We only know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there was a bunch of other ones. What about them? What did they do? Apparently, they all just kind of melted into the society and did what they were told. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're going to do what's right. And Daniel was the spokesman of the group. And he stood up and said, I'm not going to budge. And so Daniel thought through this. He made it, even though it was not a popular decision among his people. You know, David's prayer in Psalm 19:14 may have been one that Daniel prayed. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Perhaps Daniel even prayed that very prayer. But Daniel purposed in his heart. The psalmist also prayed in Psalm 86:11, a verse we just read a few moments ago. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. You know, these are certainly prayers that we need today. We need those kind of prayers. But we see a second fact in Daniel's decision that is important, and that is that it was a biblical decision. Look at the verse again. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. How did he know what would defile him? Was it his opinion? Was it his peers? Was it just a family tradition? No, I think that it's much deeper than that. You know, he knew what would defile him because somewhere along in his youth, he had heard the Old Testament scrolls read. Perhaps in the temple. Perhaps his parents had some scrap portions of the Old Testament law and read them. But he knew the Scriptures. He had been taught the Scriptures. His parents obviously studied the Scriptures and And, you know, and remember there in Deuteronomy where God said that they were to take and post scriptures up around the walls of their house and on the posts of their doors. And so they were supposed to have the scriptures right in their family, readily available, so they could all see that and be a reminder to them. Somewhere along the line, Daniel learned the scriptures. He knew what the Bible taught, and he determined that that was going to be his basis. You know, and we base some of our the things that we do and don't do on feelings and preferences and on our upbringing and or on society. And that's not all wrong. Right? Sometimes there's good things. I mean, you can learn great things from your family if you've got a good family. But the truth is, our convictions really need to be based on the Bible, solidly on the Bible. That's where that needs to be, because the Bible doesn't change. Our feelings sometimes change. Our opinions change sometimes. Some of the things we've been taught change sometimes. You know, and there's a lot of things that change. But the Bible doesn't change. The Bible stays the same. And so we need to remember that. And we need to, as we mentioned earlier during our quiz time, that the, you know, we get some of our instruction from the Scripture from commands, other times from principles. And both of them are helpful to us to be able to come up with what God wants us to do. And so he learned the truth of God, and that was what guided his life. And that's what we need. You know, the food that was set before Daniel, what kind of food would it have been? Well, it was something that defiled. That could be skin fish, pork, food or drink that was offered to idols. There's a lot of different things it could have been. You know, the Old Testament has a big long list of you can't eat this kind of bird, and so no mice and crows and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a whole list of stuff. But I don't think the king was probably eating mice and crows, but it was probably something that was maybe offered to the idols, something that was maybe pork or something. I don't know what it was, but Daniel knew, and he took one look at it and says, that's not what God wants me to eat, and I'm not going to be able to eat that. I got a problem. I got to make a decision. And so Daniel was faced with that. And yet, he had already, in years past, set his heart solidly on truth, and he says, I'm not going to do what displeases God. And it was an unchanging rule in his heart. You know, perhaps he had memorized Psalm 119:11, where it says, Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. But Daniel purposed in his heart, you know, what does God expect of you as a Christian, and of me as a Christian? You know, we need to come up with some concrete ideas of what does God's Word teach us. And some things just to get your gears ticking, and you can start thinking on these and chewing more. But God wants us to have a flourishing relationship with Him. Spending time in the Bible in prayer every day. And He wants us to have purity of mind and body. He wants us to abstain from alcohol. He wants us to rule our spirit and to have a godly testimony and serve in the local church and be obedient to our parents and be a witness for the Lord. And the list goes on and on and on. And we find all these things in the Scriptures. They're to guide us. And so it's the Scriptures that can help us to make these decisions. And Daniel's decision was a biblical decision. So it was a premeditated decision, it was a biblical decision, but thirdly, his decision was also a personal decision. You see there, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Daniel purposed in his heart. He was purposely making this. He was individual. It was an individual decision that he made. You know, his parents weren't there. Very likely, his parents were killed in the siege. Can't prove that. But there's no sign of his parents. If they weren't killed, they're long behind. He doesn't know where they are. He's gone. He'll never go back and see them again. He's in a foreign land, hundreds of kilometers away, and he'll never see his parents again. So there's not, oh, mom and dad, what will they think? They were gone. They were out of the picture. And he was in a foreign land now, no religious teachers around him, no godly friends other than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm sure they probably held each other up, but what are four guys compared to everybody else? And he was outnumbered. And so there's no one there forcing him to make the right decision. And Daniel chose, he purposed in his heart. He spoke up and said, I can't eat this. I can't do that. And he knew that God forbid that. Now, speaking up took courage. I mean, that was a big decision for him to make as a young man. You think about a 16-year-old, 17-year-old young man standing up to an authority in a foreign land who's Daniel's still struggling to even figure out, you know, his language. He's the Ashpenaz, if he speaks Hebrew, he's probably speaking in a very rough dialect of Hebrew, and Daniel's still trying to pick up the little bits. You know what it's like trying to talk to a foreigner. You talk to some people on the phone, you can't hardly hear, understand what they're talking about. That's probably the... But Daniel understood, and so Daniel here, he's made a purpose in his heart, and it took courage to do that. He knew it could cost him his life. You stand up and say, yeah, I know I'm a slave, but I just can't eat that. Well, what if they would have said, you eat it or you die? Then what was he going to do? Die? Maybe. That he purposed it in his heart. And so he was prepared for that. It could have cost him his life. He was a slave. Slaves have no rights. He had many excuses why he could go ahead and do it. He'd never see his homeland again. He never had any hope of ever going back to Israel. And so he had all kinds of excuses. But despite all these excuses, Daniel purposely decided in his heart that he would not defile himself. He says, I'm going to do right till the stars fall. I'm not going to change. And so Daniel resolved it in his heart personally. No one can force you into purposing to put God first in your life. That has to be a voluntary, personal choice of your life. You know, even in marriage situations, you can't force your spouse to do that. It's a personal choice. Every individual has to make a personal choice to say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do because that's what God wants me to do. And so it was a personal choice. Next, we see that it was an applied decision. It was an applied decision. Again, he says there, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. You know, he had to make some applications of the principles. He took general principles that God had set forth, and he says, all right, now these are general principles that were to guide me in my life there in Israel, but now I'm not in Israel. I'm in a foreign land, and I'm under the king's rule, and the king has set this stuff in front of me. But Daniel could have made excuses. Well, you know, it really didn't apply to this because it was talking about something different. But no, he made the application, and he says, I'm going to apply it as I believe it is right. And you know, we too will need to make general principles from God and general commands from God and apply them to specific situations. We need to do that. That's part of it. You know, it's far easier to look for loopholes and say, well, you know, it didn't really say that and it didn't say that, so I guess I'll go ahead and do this anyway because it probably isn't right, but it's okay because it didn't really say it exactly. But Daniel could have tried that, but he didn't do that. And God wants us to be ready to apply our convictions to situations of everyday life. And that's where we are day by day. And that's where it's tough to apply it to our daily life situations. You know, it includes what we say and what we do, the places we go and where we won't go, and the things that we believe and the things that we reject. All of that, it fits into that same category. And, you know, it's most difficult to apply our convictions when we're alone or when we're opposed. You know, Daniel was both. He was all alone in the sense that he'd never go back home again. Most of his people over there were angry with God and against God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego may not have been right there side by side with him, but he was there, and, you know, he didn't have very many people with him. And so he was alone, and he was oppressed or persecuted or opposed by those who were around him. He had every reason, excuse could come up with to say, well, I'm going to give in. But he didn't. He stood true to God even though it was difficult. And it was difficult for him. And yet Daniel's convictions compelled him to do what he believed was right. But then we find, fifthly, that Daniel's decision was a lived decision. By that I mean that Daniel's situation would have been easy for him to bow out of, make excuses, go ahead and eat the stuff, it doesn't really matter, and, you know, there's all kinds of excuses he could have made. But he lived it what he believed was right, and however, because of this, he requested that he might not defile himself. And so he spoke up to Ashpenaz, and he says, therefore, requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So Daniel lived out that decision. He had made the decision in his heart. He saw that stuff was coming. He thought, what am I going to do? No, I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. That's not what I believe God would want me to do. And so he made that choice in his heart when he saw what was coming. And then he spoke up and he put it into practice and lived it out and asked for an excuse from that. And then he asks Ashpenaz to allow him to have vegetables for 10 days and see if his health would hold up. And Ashpenaz agreed to that, and God blessed him, and Daniel was healthy and strong. So Ashpenaz says, okay, fine. You stay healthy and strong, you can eat your vegetables. I won't make you eat this stuff. And Daniel stood up to it, and God blessed him for it. Now, is that the way it always happens? No. I mean, you think about down through the years when there was so much persecution. You know, during the Dark Ages, thousands and millions of people died for their faith in Christ. And, you know, they were standing up for what was right. And God didn't reach down and snatch them out and rescue them. He allowed them to die. And, you know, sometimes that happens. And we look at it and say, well, why did God do that? Well, I don't know, but God gets glory in those who live for Him to the death. And so we can't always guarantee that it's going to turn out nice like it did with Daniel. That if I do right, if I make the right choice, that God's going to bless me and it'll all be well and I'll be able to eat my vegetables and I won't have to do the things that will defile me. It may not turn out that way. You know, but we're going to face times in our lives when we're going to have to determine, what are we going to do? Are we going to purpose in our heart to do what we know is right, or are we going to give in? You know, there's going to be, our peers will test us. Those around us, trying to get us to do things that are wrong. Our lusts and pleasures will test you. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to test you. Family sometimes tests you. Even good family sometimes tests us. Not necessarily trying to get us to do evil, but maybe just saying, oh, come on, lighten up a little bit. That's not that important. And so family can even do that, even good family. Carnal Christians can test you, trying to pull you away and say, nah, don't be so fanatical. And employers may test you. The government may test you. You know, the government's not our friend in a lot of ways. And so there's going to be times when we're going to be tested. And so we've got to come up and determine, what does God say and what does God expect? Now, probably, folks, one of the hardest things is determining what is a genuine conviction that I can't bend and what is something that is a very, very strong preference that I'll hold as strong as I can, but if I have to, I'll bend on it some. And, you know, there is a fine line there. Because there's some things we need to just say, no, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, for example, just give you an example in my own life. I mean, years ago in my childhood, my parents taught me very, very strongly, very clearly, alcohol was bad. And I've never tasted it other than NyQuil and some of those terrible things, the cough medicines. But I've never tasted alcohol. I can't stand the smell of it. And I refuse to drink it. I mean, no way. I'm not going to drink that stuff. And I'll stand strong in that because I don't think God wants me. I mean, would I die for it? You know, that's a hard question. Might die because of it, but I don't know. That's a hard one. So we need to think like that. But, you know, when it comes to even like the persecutions, when they were put to a test where, you know, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and believe me, it's not a book you want to read at bedtime. Just horror stories of how they tortured and killed Christians. And would we stand strong during that kind of, is it, you know, if it's deny Christ or you die, yes, that's something we got to say, I'm going to stand strong in that. God help me. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to cave in. I'll die for that. But there's some things that, you know, maybe aren't that strong. And I'm not saying that every single thing that we hold dearly has to be I'll die for it conviction. But we do need to have some things in our heart where we say, this is what's right and this is what's wrong, and I'm not going to do the wrong. I'm going to make some strong determinations there. And yeah, as Christians, God challenges us to live our convictions. 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says there, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, be steadfast, unmovable. Do what's right. And God will bless your labor if you'll do that. So, as we look at this tonight, we ask ourselves that question. Have I purposed in my heart to put God first in every area of my life? That's a question that every one of us needs to answer in our hearts. And have we established certain convictions based on the Bible regarding what we will and will not do? We need to have that settled in our heart. Because if we wait until the time comes, we'll be very strongly tempted not to. And if you have not so purposed in your heart, then you're going to very likely give in to peer pressure and pleasures and temptations and persecution when they get strong. It's just the way it is. And so I think we live in an age when we really truly need to take a strong stand. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We need to stand. Do what's right. And so go home tonight. Have a thought of this. Ponder it as you're going to sleep tonight. And ask yourself, God, have I purposed in my heart to stand for what I really truly hold dear and what I truly believe? And let God just solidify some of these thoughts in your mind that might help you to grow spiritually.